Welcome back, comedy fans, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's episode, we're very excited. We're on 118 already. It's the greatest love of all. Faison love, everybody. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering, Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram, at Sapori Rochester. Also, of course, we love Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and always be kind. Now it's your very special host. His comedy is contagious. It's Vinny Paulino, everybody.
That ain't all I got that's contagious, baby. Welcome to number 118 with our guest today, Faison Love. You know him as an actor. You know him as a comedian. But today we're going to get to know the man a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Our other guest is Penicillin.
Hey!
I don't think it works.
Yeah, it's not going to work. So here's the deal, folks. Comedy at the Carlson, we are open for business, baby, and we are going to make you laugh all weekend long with Faison. If you've never seen him, he's a great act. He's been doing comedy since the early 80s, and people know him for movies, but they don't realize that he is an established, awesome comic.
He was a very established comic before he ever did a movie.
Not exactly. You weren't here for the last interview, were you?
Yeah, I watched it. No, that means no.
What planet
then
are
that
you
means
on?
No, then that means no.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, I watched
right.
it.
You're right. Yeah, that means no.
Yeah, that's exactly what that means.
No,
good stuff. So, old soft brains over here.
Yeah, I was in Avengers.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Oh, what is going on? Well, either way, we're going to have a great conversation with Faison Love. Billy DeTore is going to come in here and give us some comedy history in just a minute. But, you know, the world's upside down right now. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Like I said, we are open for business, and we got hand sanitizer everywhere up in this building.
Joe is not touching your fries anymore if you order food.
Joe, so. Shoeless Joe, we've set a firm no licking the dishes policy for Shoeless
He's
Joe.
He's wrapped in saran wrap in a closet.
Yep.
He won't bother you.
And I know a lot of you really enjoy that part of the show is when Shoeless comes out and licks your plate. We're not doing it.
Sorts pretzels with his feet. Yeah. Yes. No, that's not going to
Jesus.
It's not going to, not doing that anymore.
Joe, come sit on Ross's lap so everybody can see who you are.
Come in here. Salty feet, as we call them.
We're not going to let Shoeless touch anything except for Ross.
At all. Doorknobs.
Just Ross.
Just me.
He's only allowed to touch Ross. So either way, we hope you can make it out this weekend. You're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to have a fun show for you. So stay tuned. It's a little bit of a short opening today, but we're going to have lots of funny in this episode, we promise.
What's the greatest gift of all? It's, of course, well, pizza. But then laughter is also a great gift. Give the gift of laughter gift cards for Comedy at the Carlson available now. And, of course, tickets are still available this weekend for Faison Love. Get you some of that love. Go to carlsoncomedy.com. And now, back to the show.
Hey, folks, it is time for, I think, it's becoming our favorite segment, right, Brian?
I think so, yeah.
It is. We are joined in studio with our own comedy historian, Mr. Billy DeTore.
Oh, you're talking about me? I was going to go find Ross.
Who?
I was going to go find Ross. I figured that was your favorite segment.
We keep him for the end because we want to get out of here and just get it done quick.
Yeah.
But you get a prime spot.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, we're going to talk a little comedy history. Mm-hmm. I know you like to start off with the birthdays. We got any good
birthdays.
Ones this week?
There's a bunch of them this week. A bunch I like. Couple comedy legends that are no longer with us would have been celebrating birthdays on March 16th, which is Monday. 1906 saw the birth of Henny Youngman.
Hey.
Take my wife, please. Uh-huh. He would have been 114. In 1926, Jerry Lewis was born on March 16th. A couple legends there.
I'll tell you which one of those people I like more.
I'm going to guess Henny.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, like Jerry Lewis has legacy. Mm-hmm. The guy has legacy, but when he did that interview a few years ago. He was like 90. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so. You school me.
I want to say Entertainment Weekly or somebody did an article about performers still performing in their 90s. It was like Carl Ryan or Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Lewis. I'm just going to put it to you this way. Jerry was kind of an a-hole.
Yep.
He has a reputation for being such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and didn't like females in comedy very much, from what I hear.
Yeah. Jerry, listen, dude, nothing against you except for your bigoted attitude and jerky ways.
He was old school, not in the charming way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
he was like, if he was not rich and famous, he would be the guy in the nursing home that all the nurses hated. is the way I like to think about it.
Lady.
Lady. Where are my pills? Lady. Why does he do that voice? That's what I'm going to be saying.
He would have been 94 years old.
All right. Well, adios.
Okay. Wednesday, March 18th sees the birthday of maybe the man that incorporated social media into comedy the best, first. Happy MySpace birthday to Dane Cook.
All right.
Well, would have been 48.
It's an interesting point. He is the
pioneer. He said would have been 48. Did we just kill Dane Cook?
I'm sorry, Mr. Cook.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite memories, though, once when I worked for Brother Weeze, we were interviewing Dane Cook on the phone. And at the time, just recently, there had been an article that named him the worst comedian of all time. And Weeze brought it up. He goes, "Bruh, I don't agree with it, but this article in People Magazine says you're the worst comedian ever." Interview didn't last very much longer.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say, I saw him in Vegas. Like, I got comp tickets to it, and it was entertaining.
I bet.
Like, they gave it was you the years comp tickets. Ago before I started stand-up, but it was I was entertained.
Was there a guy standing in front of the place going, "Free tickets to the worst comedian in the world"?
I think they were actually just in our room when we checked in.
All right. Yeah. It's so funny. You can't call Dane Cook the worst comic ever. I mean, Brian exists.
You exist. No, Joe exists.
Shoeless. I'll give it to Shoeless Joe. Yeah.
Okay.
Congratulations, Shoeless Joe.
You are
the worst comic in the world, and you don't even have a MySpace. Keep them moving. What do
there
we got
we
for
go.
The birthdays?
March 20th, birthday for Carl Reiner, who you just mentioned, 98 years old, and Von Meter, who, if you're not familiar, it's just a sad story. 1936 saw the birth of Von Meter, who in 1963 won the Grammy for Best Album, not Best Comedy Album.
Best Album of the Year.
The big part of his act was his impersonation of JFK.
And in 1963, that all ended with a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once JFK died, so did Von Meter's career.
Which is very unlucky, but best album of the year. That's
that's amazing.
Pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
His Lyndon Johnson impression was not as good, I guess.
No. He tried doing a Calvin Coolidge a throwback, but that didn't work out either.
Aw.
No, I'm sorry.
For what? That's a good joke.
I don't know. March 21st sees the birthday, 62 years old, Brad Hall. Do you remember Brad Hall?
He was on SNL, wasn't he?
For 2 years, 3 years, 92 to 94, and also one of the luckiest men in comedy because he's married to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That's right. I forgot about that.
They met many years before SNL, but wound up castmates together.
People don't realize that she was on SNL, too.
Yep. Yeah.
They forget about her.
And 1962, Rosie O'Donnell was born. She's 58 on March 21st.
Happy birthday, Rosie.
Happy birthday, Rosie. March... Oh, actually, that's it for birthdays this week. I'm sorry.
Let's lead with the death. The death,
which is March 19th. R.I.P. Calvert DeForest. Do you remember the name Calvert? Larry Bud Melman.
Yep.
Larry Bud Melman.
One of the funniest characters and just a regular guy. They always said when he did stuff on Letterman, his delivery was
impeccable.
That delivery, yeah.
He was kind of the pioneer of the goofy occasional sidekick guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I still remember him doing interviews, I think it was at Grand Central Station, and he had the mic, but every time he spoke, he held the mic towards the person he was talking to. And then when the person was talking, he put the mic in front of his own mouth, which made me laugh hysterically.
Adios, R. Bud.
Yes, sir.
Or what's his name?
Larry Bud Melman.
I always want to say R. Bud Dwyer, and that is a very different person.
That's a very different story.
It's a very different story that ended way worse than him dying of natural causes in 2007. All right, what else we got?
Let's see. March 15th, 1977, we'll go a little history. The debut of Three's Company, one of the hugest sitcoms of its day and a huge surprise, I think.
It was not expected.
Yeah. And they called it the first of the jiggle comedies.
Okay.
Because
the jiggle comedies.
Jiggle comedies because Suzanne Summers didn't
all jiggly.
Yeah, she was all jiggly. So a big hit and a pretty funny show. John Ritter was really funny on
it. He was. R.I.P. as well.
Yes, sir. March 19th, 1928. Amos and Andy debuts. Now, Amos and Andy debuts
Let's
on the radio.
Let's just say doesn't hold up well.
No, it doesn't.
In 2020.
Having a couple white guys do stereotypical versions of black guys. Well, huge hit. In fact, they made a movie in the 30s called, I should have written it down. I've seen stills from it. Striker. I forget the name of the movie, but they played Amos and Andy, the white guys, in blackface.
That's pretty for the time, I guess, fine. Not really, but wow.
Yeah.
At least
a major motion picture with two. Number one, radio. Let's just break this down for a second. Number one, radio. There's nobody on radio that's getting a movie nowadays. Stern was the last one, and he probably will be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless they make a Rush Limbaugh biopic, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of blackface in that. I'm kidding. But yeah, they're not making movies about radio shows anymore.
I figure that back then they were all sitcoms, though.
Yeah.
No, the Jack Benny Show and Abbott and Costello and Fred Allen. They all had movies, but as sitcoms. Yeah. So.
But then the next level of adding the blackface is just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's.
Now, they did do a TV show in the 50s, or it was an Amos and Andy TV show, but they did hire black actors for that. There was discussion of actually having the white guys dub in the voices of Amos and Andy, but that didn't happen. And
Yeah.
That would have been awkward.
That would have been bad.
What a way to make a living.
Yeah.
I'm not a big – I don't know what to say about this. Moving on.
Aren't you just supposed to say it was a different time?
Time for a deep dive, eh, Billy?
Yes, sir. One of our favorites.
Yes, sir.
Andy Kaufman, along with, Andy Kaufman loved wrestling and made a movie called My Breakfast with Blassie, featuring classy Freddie Blassie, who was a manager when I first started watching wrestling.
Known in the wrestling business as probably the greatest manager, the one that everybody tried to be like.
A great talker.
Yeah.
Had a hit song, if you listen to Dr. Demento back in the day. and the Funny Five, you could always hear Pencil Neck Geek.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a guess as to what it was called.
Yeah. Oh, you've never heard it?
I don't think I've ever listened to it.
Oh, it's such a great song.
Okay, well, that's going on my Apple Music later.
Pull a Pencil Neck Geek by Classy Freddie Blassie. But they made a movie called My Breakfast with Blassie.
And it was a spoof of...
My Dinner with Andre.
Right.
I've never seen this.
You don't know about this?
No.
I watched it a long time ago, and I watched it before I knew what My Dinner with Andre was, so I don't think I got it. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But it's fascinating watch.
It is. It's performance art at its weirdest, because, you know, I always thought it was completely ad-lib. No, they spent time actually scripting that movie. Andy Kaufman and a co-writer.
So I'm going to play a little clip that should be pretty...
It's timely.
It is a timely clip, and I just got to find it.
Let's try again.
Yeah, this one's dry.
We'll put a little...
It's got little handy
put a little water
lights.
On it. Not that way.
Oh. What?
Get the this thing.
Yeah? Fill it up.
Get your spoon.
Well, that's okay. I'll just...
Here. This way. No, Jesus Christ. Do it the right way.
Uh-huh.
This way. Now, dip the thing in here.
Oh.
See, it'll be wet again. Nah, not that. I said dip the paper in the thing.
But look, it's wet now.
All right, use it then, use it.
Some people don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom.
That's right. Now, like I said before, and I mean, I'm not just saying it. Some guys only use two or three tissues.
Mm-hmm.
I use a half a roll if I've got to go. Darn sure my hand don't go through. Mm-hmm. But these guys here, plus the fact that I scrub my... I need my fingernails very good and everything.
All right, you come back to me.
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about that for?
Exactly right, Freddie. Why are we talking about that? Because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
But, classy Freddie Blassie and Andy Kaufman together having a little breakfast and talking about hand washing and being very careful.
You think Freddie brought his own wardrobe to that?
I'm 100% sure Freddie brought his own wardrobe for that. There are stories about Freddie Blassie that are fantastic, Billy. He had his own home tanning system. Really? Yeah, he had, like, before the people had them in their homes, he had one. And he had this big thing that came down from the ceiling over him, and he would, like, be enclosed in it. And the story goes is he went in it one day, and his wife went to the store, and the power went out. And he got stuck in it till his wife got back.
At least the power was out. He wasn't in there cooking.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Freddie Blassie, it was the debut on, did I say the date before? March 20th, 1984, My Breakfast with Blassie made its L.A. premiere. And at the time, Andy Kaufman was sick.
Yeah.
He had, well, he died of cancer. And at the time, he was undergoing radiation treatments and chemo. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want anybody to know. So there's a great picture of Andy Kaufman at the premiere with a mohawk to hide the hair loss.
Yeah.
Because he was such an oddball, you know, you never...
He'd walk with a mohawk and be like, oh, all right.
And it's Andy. Yeah. People still think he may have faked his death.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories. Yeah. Every 10 years or so, that Bob Zamuda will show up and be like, you know, Andy told me that 45 years after he... Yeah. Faked his death, it would be the year that he would come back.
Yeah.
They'd have a party at the Improv.
Did I mention I wrote a book?
Yeah.
You should get my book. It's kind of sad. Like, do you think he's dead, right? We know he's dead.
Yeah. In fact, this is weird. The first place that reported that Andy Kaufman was sick before he died was the National Enquirer. And at the time, you know, National Enquirer still has sort of a horrible reputation for being, you know, fake stories or whatever. But they had it right. And they were the first to go with it.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Broken clock scenario right here.
Those Andy Kaufman and Bat Boy, those are the only two things they've been right about.
Actually, it was
Bat
Weekly...
Boy is how coronavirus started.
Weekly World News was the Bat Boy one, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I get those two prestigious publications mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, well, they just show up every day.
But Andy Kaufman and Freddie Blassie, I loved Andy Kaufman's sort of history with wrestling. I also, besides My Breakfast with Blassie, which I just rewatched last night to sort of prepare for today.
Yeah,
it's such an odd piece of performance art because doing a little research on it, you learn that the movie was scripted. They spent a couple months scripting. That sort of.
And that is the most unbelievable fact to me about it. If you watch it, it feels incredibly natural.
And I didn't realize until then, what led to that scene you just playing was a lady asking Andy Kaufman and Freddie Blassie for autographs and stuff. That was a lady that worked for Kaufman. She was an actress and one of the co-producers of the movie. I thought she was just a regular patron
of the
restaurant. She was
a plant?
Yes.
I should have known that when Andy wrestled her right after. He pinned her, too. Good old Andy.
Chair shot.
I'll tell you what, the opening of that movie is really, really good, too. It's just him waiting for a bus and doing the talk over.
Sitting at the bus stop.
Yeah, it really is My Dinner with Andre. And he's like, I've wrestled over 400 women in my life. And everybody still thinks I'm a creep. Like, it's the funniest opening. But you might want to check it out. Andy Kaufman and classy Freddie Blassie. RIP to both of them. Billy, great job this week, man.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you, Brian.
No problem. We're going to be back with Phase on Love in just a second. Stay tuned.
Jonah to the LA. They dodged her, take the cars until they ran far away.
I feel like every time you're in here, I learn something new. Joining us in studio today, the great Faison Love. Clap for him, Brian. Wow. Clap for him.
Wow. I got the wow.
You got, how's it going, man? You got a clap from me and Brian. It's pretty good boarded. But
nice and cozy.
It's nice to have you again.
It's nice to be here. I see you guys. Man, I like all this. Like, all this would be in my house.
Thank you. Even the big picture of me up there? It's behind that thing. You can't see it.
Not that.
But there's a very big picture of me. I'll be glad to send it to your home, a copy of it, if you'd like.
You got the David Boy mugshot.
Yep.
That was
real?
Yeah, that happened in Rochester. He got busted for weed.
Stop.
Yeah. Swear to you.
No, he did.
I got to get that. And that's in the Rochester.
I'll go get you one today. I will bring you one. I know exactly where to grab it.
It's in the Rochester County.
Yeah.
Yep. Rochester Police Department.
Police Department, yeah.
Wow.
People don't realize it. We were, we made history by harassing a British musician for no reason.
We made his ass come back from England for the court date, too.
No.
Yeah, they made him come back.
Back then, the fine was, what, $100?
Yeah, it was something like that. But I can't remember what it was. Like, they were going to take his passport away.
It's a lot more than that when you fly first class. Right. You know,
the Concorde ticket costs a lot more than that.
We need you to come back and fight this ticket.
I mean, normally you'd be able to send lawyers or something, but no, they made David Bowie come all the way back.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh.
But that's the way they used to do in the 70s. They used to harass a lot of like musicians, comics, people like that coming through town. The cops would be sitting there waiting for them.
They didn't stand for the jazz cigarettes back then.
The what?
The jazz cigarettes.
Smoke those funny cigarettes, boy.
Well, what are those stories like Willie Nelson's bus? Like, he would pull up to a state and like the cops knew which route the bus was coming, and they'd wait for him at the border and be like, everybody out.
That's all that outlaw stuff that's dope. If you listen to those stories, they sound beautiful. I mean, I listen to a lot of different music, but that's what it is. You can hear the pain and then the wink. You know, like Willie Nelson, like,
the wink.
I remember time we was coming to you.
And that was Willie they were harassing, too. Like, of all the people to harass, Willie Nelson. What problems did he cause for anybody?
That's what I'm saying, Willie Nelson. I mean, they were fucking with Elvis.
Johnny Cash.
Well, Elvis was a problem.
Elvis would occasionally shoot a car.
He didn't get that way until Vegas.
Yeah.
Until, you know, he started pills and popping pills and hanging out late, man.
There was a book that the guys who I used to tour with him, the Memphis Mafia.
Oh, yeah, with Red.
Yeah, Red. Uh-huh. And they had all sorts of stories in that book of just absolute insanity that he was all into. He was a problem, man. I wouldn't want to deal with that guy.
He's Elvis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And he knew it.
Did you know he used to dye his hair?
Yeah, I imagine
to black.
His hair is blonde. He's a natural blonde.
I did hear that.
Yeah,
he was in a movie called Kissing Cousins where he did the blonde thing.
Yeah,
where he played like identical cousins, except one had black hair, the other one had blonde hair.
His hair is naturally blonde.
Like, you're a famous guy, though. If it ever gets to the point in your life where you're having your friends wake you up to feed you a pie, like you would think that it's like time to.
I think they skipped it. He was too drunk.
He
was selfish. He's like. Guys, 3 o'clock, wake me up and give me a pie.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm gonna be asleep till about 3.
I'm gonna be asleep, guys, wake me up.
At 1:30 a.m., I want my cherry pie feeding.
Can't miss out on my lemon meringue.
Have you been to the Elvis house?
Graceland? Yeah. I'm going, I'm planning on going.
Oh, it's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
When we first went there, because Chuck D was... Elvis, never hero to most, and they never, you know, we had that going. Oh, there's a problem?
No, not a problem at all.
No.
He's like...
That's just his natural state.
Yeah, he looks terrified.
So we was like, man, let's go to Elvis' house and fuck it up.
Good luck. They won't let you touch anything in there, will they?
We go, and we were so blown away at Elvis... was a nigga. Like, he thought he was black. He grew up black.
Yeah.
So that's what, it blew me away. Like, I started doing research because I was like, all his music collection was black.
Yeah. Well, that's where he stole it all from.
He didn't steal it. He grew up in, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yes, he did.
He earned it. He didn't steal it.
He grew up a black person. Yeah. So his father was a criminal. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So
he lived with his mom alone for most of his life, didn't he?
Yeah, because he lived in this poor black neighborhood. So he didn't steal it, but that's all he heard.
Yeah.
Was that kind of music.
He used to go to the church and just hang out at the church and listen to the choirs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a black choir.
Yeah.
So what is he going to, he's not going to be, it's not really stealing if you grew up like that.
So when you go into Elvis's house and you're looking around, what's the like thing that impressed Faison Love the most? Like, what did you see that you were like,
the jungle room.
The jungle room?
Yeah, the jungle room. The jungle room. And this was, when I went, it was a long time ago. But now they have, you know, the jungle room is like going to the basement, all white. No, yeah, it's all white, and you got TVs on the wall.
Okay.
Mirrors. Mm. So I was like, wow, that's cool.
Just an awesome name for a room.
Yeah.
The jungle room.
The jungle room.
And you know shit goes outside, down there.
If I remember right, I didn't know he was buried at the house.
Yeah,
he's buried like in the lawn, in the yard.
Him, his mom, and his dad, they're all buried there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So when we went out by the pool, he's like, oh, he's buried here.
You do a cannonball, yeah. You could splash on it.
we were planning to go there and fuck it up, like break some, like, fuck Elvis. We left out of there like, yo, Elvis was cool. He was the mother. He Cadillacs and shit. He dressed like a pimp.
Yeah.
That was his pimp.
Yeah. I just want to see his cars.
A lot of cars.
Some badass cars.
Well, I mean, he dressed, he wore the jumpsuits everywhere. He was like the fanciest mechanic ever.
Shade Tree mechanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was a Shade Tree mechanic.
He worked at the Valvoline on the nice part of town.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean,
he had
could you bedazzle these overalls?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty much how he did it.
The big eagle in the back. It was rock and roll, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like, the two planes, he has two planes.
Yep. Big Boeings, too, not like little private
jets.
He had
a Boeing and a small...
A Lear, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lisa Marie and the... I forgot what the other one
was. Yeah, I never knew the names of either of them.
Yeah, but I was impressed. And I was like, okay, Elvis, he's not a...
We're all right with Elvis. We got no real beef with Elvis. I mean, once you see what the guy did and he accomplished, it's like, all right, you're gone
this
now.
This is the shit.
Yeah.
Trust me, because we went there. You remember the Public Enemy song? Elvis, yeah. Never met. So we was like, yeah, fuck Elvis, man. He ain't mean shit. He stole black people music. No. He grew up as a black kid.
Interesting. Now, new perspective.
Did you know? See, here's one thing. You guys going to hear this first. No. He's presumed to have a black child.
Okay.
That died the same way he did.
Really?
So someone that anyone would know, or is
everyone knows?
You're saying that there's a famous person who has passed away,
yes,
who very well could have been Elvis's child, who died the same way he did.
Same way he did.
Okay,
on the toilet and everything, or just the drugs?
Hold on. Now we're playing a game. Now I'm thinking here. Yeah, now I'm thinking.
There we go.
Okay, so can we play like a little game here?
There we go.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay. And I've never said this. So
you don't have to tell me the name of the person. I want to guess this, but...
it's easy.
How long ago did this person die?
5 years ago.
Huh.
How old was this person when they died,
do you think?
In the late 40s, like early 50s, right?
Are you going to say it was Prince? Are you saying it was Prince?
No.
Oh, that's what I was thinking too.
No, you guys are way off.
Okay, I'm sure, because I was like, that's crazy. I don't think...
Way off.
Yeah, they both had pompadours.
Way off.
Wow. Okay, hold on.
Prince was gone for 5 years?
Like 2015 or 16 maybe, so not that long.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Huh.
2 years before Prince, maybe?
Died.
Billy's frantically trying to say something over there.
Male or female?
Female.
Okay. Sharon Jones?
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this one.
All right.
Billy's going to explode over there. He thinks he knows what it
Billy.
Is.
Billy. Where's Billy DeTore?
Whitney Houston.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Whitney. Really?
Tell her why you say that.
Get in here, Billy.
Tell her why you say that.
Billy, go sit next to Faison for a second. Turn on couch mic two. We can see Billy's butt. Here. Good stuff.
Hey, how are you? Because Whitney Houston's not mom...
Not about my camera, but that's cool.
Whitney Houston's mom was a backup singer for Elvis.
Oh.
You may go now.
He is our local my historian, man. Billy DeTore.
Really? So that's the rumor, huh?
Sweet sensation. Yes.
So, okay. How do we prove this?
You just you
get a, let's get
research.
A shovel.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, get a
we
shovel.
We need to get some shovels.
I'm not sure exactly how to prove it, but I think a shovel will be involved.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Not really.
You blew my mind, though.
There's secrets.
Somebody probably bottled that bathwater she drowned in. Probably get some DNA from that.
Huh. My mind is freaking blown, man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just... let's talk about you for a minute before we start wrapping all this. I learned something about you since the last time you were here that I didn't realize. You were born in Cuba.
Right.
Now, your dad was in the military. Was right. that right? So right. that's why you were born there. Was just because your dad was stationed, or was he just living there and enjoying it?
I want to get a... Let me... yeah.
Okay.
There's some etchy, sketchy stuff.
Going on in Cuba.
Yeah, with Whitney Houston, right?
Yeah, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about Cuba at all?
Sure. Fidel.
Yep.
Good, you know, good guy.
Yeah. Okay. So, wait a second. How long did you live there?
Where?
Cuba.
What's up with Cuba? I'm an American.
You were born in Cuba, though.
Some people, it's kind of, it's hard to say.
Okay.
You know, if you, because when people's birth certificate is a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Whitney Houston, right?
She was born in Cuba, too?
So you would not be able to obtain a Cuban passport, is what you're saying.
I think I would.
You think you could get one? Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
On another topic.
I think it'd be hard to stay here.
All right. Well, we'll move on. I think
people, it's a little problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no more Cuba talk. Let me ask you this. One of the things that I really enjoyed about talking to you the last time is you have a lot of, you're a very opinionated person, and I really appreciate that. You really think out things. Now, on the comedy scene, mm-hmm. who do you think are some of the up-and-coming talent that are worth checking out? Like, who do you really enjoy right now?
That's so weird. I just saw, for the first time, Chris Rock's little brother.
Tony?
No, he's another little brother.
He's got another little brother.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking funny.
Okay.
Like, pretty fucking phenomenal. He was the only one that really, he's pretty phenomenal. I can't, there's this Chinese guy, Ronnie, what's Ronnie's last name? He just had a Netflix special. Pretty
not
brilliant.
Ring a bell for me either.
Pretty brilliant.
Do you watch a lot of stand-up or are you?
I do. Oh, I peek in.
Ronnie Chang.
Ronnie Chang.
And Jordan Rock.
Yes.
Is the brother. Yeah. Okay.
David Arnold. I just saw his special. He was pretty honest and funny. Yeah, it was really funny. But Ronnie Chang?
Solid.
I'll make sure to check that out.
Now, you've been touring all over the place. You're doing lots of different projects. You love stand-up, though, man. You can't stay away from stand-up, can you?
Yeah, I think I'm getting old now.
Really?
I'm like, okay, all right. Because... it either goes like this. A good friend of mine, John Witherspoon died.
Yeah.
And I think he was at a gig or on the way to a gig. I was like, do I really want to do that? You know, yeah. Do you really want to? I look at a lot of how we go.
Yeah.
It's kind of rock. It's like rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I see myself either at a place like Dunkirk by the fucking lake.
Yeah, Dunkirk, mm-hmm. New York.
Yeah. With a, yeah.
Yeah.
On a bench looking at the water.
Yeah.
And just, you know. But me running to go to a gig, maybe in Vegas or Cuba, I don't know.
This is kind of an interesting thing here. Like, we're talking about the way comedians die, and you're telling me you think about that a lot? Like, just
I think just the end, like, where the end and where's it going? Is it worth it? Like, a lot of times I can't do a project because I'm like, is it really worth it? Is it going to be great? Why do you do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay. A lot of times I look at comedians and say, like, is that who's great anymore? No one's great.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so you say, well, you know, no one's like, oh my God, it's, you know. But I look and go, maybe, because I don't think people are looking to be great. They're just looking to exist in a space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was like, am I doing the same thing?
Sure. Yeah, I totally get that.
So, am I just.
So, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind,
yeah.
What's the way to go? Looking at the lake?
I have no. Me?
Yeah, you. What? How do you want to go?
Looking at a lake.
Looking
just,
at a lake.
You just want to go in a boring way.
But some people want to go rock and wet. Rock
you,
and roll.
You wouldn't. You don't see the appeal of just getting a big laugh and just dropping on the stage?
Fuck no.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want your death to be on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe I do. Maybe I do, actually.
No,
you've already died 1,000 deaths on YouTube.
Yeah, well, at least I didn't die as many as you on stage.
You guys are crazy.
Yeah, we're not nice to each other.
No.
No, that's good.
Known each other for too damn long.
You guys are the real Johnny Carson and Big Man.
Who?
I'll take Ed McMahon. I'll take that.
Did you say who?
Yeah, just to mess with him. Yeah, he is like Ed McMahon, usually drunk.
That's what I really want to do in the late night show.
Do you need a doughy person to sit on the couch? Because
of course. It's like, you know, it's so funny that guy looks like you that does other show.
James Corden?
Yeah.
So I did a professional wrestling show not too long ago. I was a manager. And some dude in the crowd just started yelling, look, it's a feminine James Corden. They kept yelling at me. And I was just like, isn't James Corden effeminate enough? Why do you got to give me grief?
Why do you have to go there with it?
I don't know. That's what I thought. I was like, why are you guys saying this to me? What did I do? Just if you want to say I look like James Corden, fine. But don't heckle me.
A feminine James.
Yeah, you scream at it.
A feminine prince.
If you could have seen if you could have seen that crowd, it's just surprising that he knew the word feminine.
Right. Yeah,
that's
hilarious.
Shocking enough.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
But
hilarious.
Let me ask you a question: what is your dream gig right now? Like, if you could really do anything, what would you want to do?
Wow!
Yeah. If you could do anything, what would you want to be up to?
A late night talk show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd actually be fantastic at it.
I was wondering that. I was wondering, because, you know, everything now is a look.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a look. They all look alike. You know, they all look alike.
They've all stolen the same sets. They all look exactly the same. You're exactly right.
So it's like, so it's almost like cookie cutter. And they're, you know, they talk about the same thing. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. I don't think my format would be that. My format would be more this.
Yeah, just talking.
Personally, yeah. That's what we forgot how to do that.
It is called a talk show.
Right.
Yeah, people forget about that.
I mean, they got people jumping up. It's a circus.
It's a lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I that's why I'm running for. I'm like, hey, come on.
Oh, is it like some like millennials? I saw one of those many polls out recently that like 70% of them get their news from late night television.
Yeah,
and like that's not what it's for,
right?
You know, like
right.
We go there to laugh,
right?
I don't need an education.
Johnny Carson probably was the best.
Because, yeah, his show was good because it was more along the lines of let's all sit here and like screw around for a while.
We're talking. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
His bits were nothing.
Yeah.
Kretschkin and let's bring out the girl with the animals. And he was generally scared.
Yeah, terrified scared of animals.
Yeah.
So.
And he would touch on the news of the day in the monologue, but he wouldn't make the whole damn show about it.
Yeah, you know? It wouldn't be, I'm taking sides.
Yeah.
It would be like, Reagan, whatever it is.
We really have gone away from the objectivity in the jokes.
It's more propaganda TV.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I like what they're saying, but I can agree 100%. It's just
let
propaganda.
Me ask you this question. In terms of stand-up,
yeah.
You notice that when people do any type of political humor, it immediately feels like these days just alienates like half the room.
It does.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're how do you say it?
Polarized? Committee. Okay.
By committee.
Okay.
We're popularized.
Uh-huh.
Everything's popular. If you don't like that guy, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you like that guy, this means that.
But then it's the other way. It goes the other way, too. Like, I mean, I hate to use this, but it's the biggest issue, I think, in stand-up is do you do jokes about Trump or do you not do jokes about Trump?
That's why it sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a hack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When we call it, it's a hack.
Yeah. But.
Like, it's a McNugget joke.
You're right. Yeah. But here's the question, though. Can there be brilliant material about it? Sure.
I just so happen to do that.
Well, there it is. Well, there's four more shows you can see the material.
Yeah. Speaking of my Trump jokes.
But I'm just saying that like people get so worked up about it that they stop listening to the joke.
People hate Trump for the wrong reason.
Well, it's not so even, it's either Trump love or hate. The people who love him, the second you bring up his name, immediately be like, oh, they're going to start talking crap about the president. Or the people who do like him, or if you say anything that's like middle of the road, like, why didn't you go after him harder? It's like, you can't win.
No.
You can win. It's just like, you can't be a hack.
Okay.
What's the difference perspective?
The difference between a hack and a comedian is the difference between Brian and myself.
We'll let the audience decide which is which.
They already know.
I know where my vote goes.
They already know.
It's your perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're talking about Trump's hair, you stupid, then you're a hack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His hair, look at his hair. His hair?
Yeah, we've noticed. Yeah. Yeah.
When he wasn't a president.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you bring whenever you bring a new perspective in, like, for instance, Tony Rock's brother. The reason why when you said that, I said Tony Rock's brother. I was watching him on the show, and he was talking about this movie called Moonlight, which is it's a gay movie, a gay black movie.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Won the Academy Award.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yo, I watched Moonlight. I watched the whole Moonlight. And these niggas didn't even fuck.
That's a pretty solid punchline.
No, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was like, if I'm going to watch a whole gay black movie, y'all better fuck. And I was like, it's so to the left, it's funny.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was like, oh shit, that's hilarious. But it's perspective. See, there's a difference between a Bill Cosby, like that kind of stuff is, people can't do it now because their brains are not geared for it.
Right.
They want the short lowbrow stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the lowbrow stuff was, oh wow, that was, because they've never seen real stand up because now they got people on the phone going,
I missed that call.
Right.
So what do you think it is about audiences and attention spans that's changed? I mean, you started comedy in the early 80s. Now we're in 2020. Yeah. How have audiences changed, in your opinion?
The attention span. Yeah. I make them listen. I somewhat bore them and reward them with a cool punchline. Because, mm-hmm. I put on some guys that are going to bring them high, like Joel, Rod Rodriguez right here.
Mm-hmm.
They have a they're animated and they bring, and then I come along like, okay, let's slow this puppy down.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
And see, that's the beauty of being the headliner, is you can do your show the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have that pressure of, what do they call it, the laughs per minute, the LPMs.
Well, let me tell you something. It's harder. It's more pressure. To do 10 minutes on a show for me is like pissing in a toilet.
Yeah.
It's the easy. There's no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do, to come to someone's show and do 10 minutes.
Sure.
Headlining. I do 10 minutes.
I'm going to start at the bar and end up back at the bar in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Be right back. Hold my drink.
But to go, okay, now you got to hold these people's attention for an hour.
Yeah.
And good. Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure, but you've been doing it so long, man.
Right.
You've been doing it so long. It's got to be old hat for you.
It's got to be what?
Old hat, just like an old hat. Just fits and you know what to do.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, are you the guy that I was talking to a friend of mine? It was like, are you the guy that needed to quit and didn't?
Yeah.
Are you the guy that's like, all right, guys, back to Rochester. Let's go.
Welcome to the cast skills, everybody.
Ah, hey.
Did you see Trump's hair? Did you see Trump's hair?
So Trump and I and his hair.
Waka, waka. Right. I believe is what you got to end with at that point.
Right.
Now, Faison, you've acted. You've done comedy. I know you like acting and stuff like that, but if you had to like decide what you want to be known for, like if you had to pick what you want people to know you as, what do you think you would prefer? When they find you on that bench by the lake,
the days are over. Faison was on a bench. I would say as a writer.
A writer.
Like yeah. I was thinking, this is probably a perfect time to just stop all this. You just start writing books.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you written any books before?
I wrote a book on procrastination. I'm writing one.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing it when it's finished.
Yeah. It's a little rough. I can't get through it.
You should combine it with like an attention deficit disorder angle as well. So it's just like it's like paragraphs that end in the middle of sentences, right. And then three blank pages, and then another four paragraphs.
I'd read that. Sounds like it'd be a quick read. So you want to write books? Do you want to write fiction, nonfiction?
Fiction.
Yeah, just fiction. Stories.
Yeah, just stories.
Okay.
That's the one thing I would say I'm good at.
Story writing.
Yes, it's putting stories together. And, like this whole coronavirus is the great. This is the best beginning to a zombie
apocalypse ever.
Oh my God! The guy who eats the bat soup and it spreads. He coughs. Boom, boom, boom. And next thing you know, they're on the road.
Next thing you know, Faison Love's stuck in Rochester. People right. are trying to eat his face off.
Nobody can leave. The whole country's quarantined. People's bodies start dropping. and then they reanimate.
Just stay off that bench for a little while. You might want to put a towel down
There's
before
no
you sit on
for
that
the bench.
Bench.
We got to use
to protect
that corner.
Protect my bench. That'd be the title of your book.
Protect my bench.
Protect my bench. I found a real dope bench in Dallas. At this place called
Turtle Creek.
Yeah.
They have a nice bench in Turtle Creek, eh?
Oh, Little Lake.
Everybody knows Turtle Creek. They're famous for their benches.
Really?
No.
And that's Faison nice, Love's bench.
It was a comfortable bench. You're just like, yeah.
So you have Joel Lindley performing with you this weekend, some other funny people, but we've known Joel a very long time. He's from Rochester. Do you have any interesting Joel Lindley stories that he wouldn't appreciate you telling us?
Well, you guys are on Joel.
Yeah, we love Joel.
Joel, Rod Rodriguez, he's Puerto Rican from Phoenix.
Right on.
No, Joel opened for me in Cleveland. I started telling nigga jokes. Joel's a white guy.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Joel is a very, very large white man.
He is the epitome of, yes.
But he's funny. He's, he's funny. He's funny.
Fair enough.
Joel's funny. He was like, yo, he's funny. We were, where else has he? Last time I was here, Joel went to.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I guess he's not that memorable. Sorry, Joel.
No. No, Joel, no, trust me. There's a lot of openers. Like I said, we had Mr. Rodriguez. Very funny. Joel's very funny. We got Mario Hodges.
Right on.
Tiffany. What's Tiffany's last name?
Haddish?
She's open for me.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. Tiffany, Ada Rodriguez. I've employed a lot of people. Wow.
Hey, would you mind not kicking that camera thing? You're making them shake. Those are the cameras in front of you. They just
messaged, now we got rules and shit.
They just messaged me from in there like, we're getting seasick. They just Hey, you get recognized a lot. You have to. You have to get recognized a lot. What do you think? What's the thing people yell at you the most, like when they see you in person?
Wow, it's got to be probably Big Worm.
You get Big Worm a lot?
I think so. It just depends on where you're at.
Like if you're in the mall, I'm guessing Elf probably.
Mall, you'd be surprised. Mall's going to be different. Depends on if it's a black mall or the white mall. Because the white mall's like, oh my God, it's the guy from the replacement. Replacements, the beach. I mean, what's the movie I did? What a surfboard. Blue Crush.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Replacements. A lot of people don't know Big Worm is the same guy from Elf.
They don't realize it? It's because of the hair?
Yeah, it's like two different guys.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was like, wait a minute. You were Big Worm too?
I thought you were saying for a minute there was some kind of cross continuity thing. The guy from Big Worm was actually Big Worm.
Started working at the mall.
he moved to New York and started working at a mall.
He became Big Worm packed up and shouldn't found a bitch.
If you had to pick a character that you play that's like your personal favorite, what do you think it would be? What do you think's your personal favorite? Where you feel like my performance was so good, you can't deny it.
It's like trying to pick your favorite puppy.
Man, it's hard because
I'm so good at everything. It's so hard to pick.
No. I would say this movie called Made that Jon Favreau wrote.
Made with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. That was like, came out after Swingers, if I recall.
Yes. That was,
and Vince Vaughn was a boxer, right? Or Favreau was a boxer.
They both were boxers. That was their hustle.
Yeah. Mm.
They would box each other and, you know, they were buddies. And they worked for this mobster guy, played by, why is my fucking, Columbo?
It's Peter Falk.
Thank you.
It's the coronavirus. You have it. I'm sorry to let you know that your brain is being eaten right now.
That's the first symptom is forgetting Peter Falk.
I remembered. I'm good. I'm still good.
Hey, Peter Falk, man.
I got to say, man, like, I forgot that you were in that movie. That's I remember it clear as bell now, but I got to say, you've been in so many things. Like, you really are. Really are. Like, your IMDb's, like, got to be nuts. I didn't even look at your IMDb this week, and I usually do, but.
Your IMDb is really old. Yeah. That was the first film ever written for me specifically.
Oh, that's cool. So, yeah, Jon Favreau writing something specifically for you is pretty awesome.
And so he wrote that.
I hear he's pretty good at it.
I heard he originally wrote Iron Man for you, too, but.
I was there when he wrote it, but. No. No, I remember him doing Iron Man. I remember them wanting to pick Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I'd heard about that.
They made a much better choice.
Thanks to me.
Oh, you're the one who said get Robert Downey Jr.?
Not really, but I like to tell people that.
Okay, I was going to say, totally take credit for it.
Hey, Robert, I agreed with him.
That's, yeah. Good job.
Think about Robert Downey. I love Robert Downey.
Yeah.
Okay. Harvey Weinstein got 23 years. You have an opinion?
Listen, that shit is so, I don't get it, okay?
Okay. You've been in Hollywood, like, I mean.
Yes. I've been in Hollywood.
Yes.
It's debauchery. That's what we sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. I'm not down with women getting hurt or getting raped. I mean,
sure.
You call me, yeah. A guy rapes a woman, you call me, I will go beat his ass personally. That's the kind of motherfucker I am.
We got somebody we could go visit later. I'll tell you later.
I'll beat his ass.
We got a guy you can go visit. We'll go together.
Hollywood, there's no reason to take pussy. It's all around.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You're dodging pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Just smacks you in the face as you're walking down the street.
We live in a different age now where there's no evidence of anything. See, people used to go to jail. It's the same reason Bill Cosby's in jail. There's no evidence of none of this shit.
Because stuff happened a while before.
Yes! Mm-hmm. And that's the best argument now.
Is that this happened a long time ago, you can't prove it?
Yes!
Okay.
If...
It doesn't appear to be working in court.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's working in court.
Sometimes.
What do you mean? 23 years?
Well, no, I'm saying that the argument against of, hey, this happened a long time ago, you can't prove it, isn't getting people out of jail time.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the reason why it's happening. You can't prove something that happened 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying. So it used to always be like, it was a long time ago, so we can't try it because there's no evidence. Now they're saying we don't need the evidence because it happened a long time ago.
Right.
You're guilty.
There's a preponderance of evidence. led to guilty. Is that
yeah, 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 yeah.
Not hearsay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so tell me what happened. Well, in 1979, he... Are you fucking kidding me? Now, I understand women are scared to come forward and say something, and that scares me. Because
if shit goes down, if something bad happens, you should feel the ability to be able to go report it.
I'm going to report it.
Yeah, and I think cases like this that are so public make it, I'm hoping that it's making it a little easier for women to come forward when they're seeing
guys.
Well,
now they're coming forward with the bullshit. Aziz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The girl said he raped her. Mm-hmm. He raped her, and it was just a bad date. So now it's dick remorse. She had a bad date. She's like, dick. Oh, he raped me. That makes sense?
Yeah, but do you think that's something that as a society we just kind of got to get past for a minute? Like, this is going to be a bump where there may be some guys who are getting more punishment than they deserve.
I think we're
going to come out the other side with women speaking up more often, and they will
I think the guys that are raping bitches are getting away with it. There's nobody at UPS raping bitches? There's nobody at the market raping bitches?
Well, I'm sure they are. They just don't make the news.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Those guys are getting away.
It's a sad scenario.
So, for them to just be like, oh, we got the guy. We got the powerful guy because... And I was reading a lot of the shit. Like, let me see. Let me read the Weinstein shit. Like, okay, let me read this. The girl said she went over there at 2:30 to read a fucking script in the morning. There's no... If a producer calls you over for some blocking techniques at 2:30 in the morning,
I'm gonna get my coat and hats. I'm on my way. But yeah, you make a lot of sense there. Let me ask you this question: who wins in a fight, Harvey Weinstein or the coronavirus? Who wins?
Hilarious. I think you know that.
Coronavirus. Okay.
I think a stiff breeze would kick Harvey Weinstein's ass at the moment.
That guy, like, he did that mob boss thing, you know? Like, do you remember when you'd watch the movies with the mob bosses? Yeah. They'd show up to court and they'd all be like, like with the oxygenated stuff.
With the water.
It could be stress, too.
Yeah, stress will kill you.
Listen, he could have the coronavirus. Who knows? That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure right there. Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know, I'm waiting for one person to be like, man, fuck them bitches, they lying. It's almost like, why does nobody ever do that?
What do you mean? Why doesn't anybody just say they're lying?
Fuck them, because I haven't heard one case where he held a girl down, put his dick in her mouth, said, you can't leave till you read the script and I'm nut.
That's kind of what one of them said he did, isn't it?
I haven't seen that one.
Isn't that what he got convicted of?
Yeah, I think that's the one he got convicted of.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really, 100%, yes. Yeah. 100%, yeah.
You paraphrased it a bit, but yeah, that's kind of what it was.
Kind of nailed it.
He's probably...
Yeah, he did hold one girl down.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's different.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of dude to push off you.
That's a little... That's different. If he...
Yeah.
If she's saying... If she's saying that.
Yeah. His deviancy was wide-ranging, the stuff that he was accused of, so.
Yeah, if she's saying that, then that's different.
So.
That's way different.
You're here for four more shows this weekend. Faison.
That's hilarious.
A
back
pro.
To the.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the jokes. Back to the yuck-em-ups.
Yeah, just curious. I thought you'd have a take on that. I was just curious.
Yeah, because I was so, you know, with Bill Cosby, I'm still pissed off with that.
I know you are.
It's like, it's just so disrespectful. I thought Donald Trump was going to pardon him by now.
I don't think Donald Trump is going to pardon Bill Cosby, even if on his last day in office. I just don't see him doing it.
Really?
I don't. I don't see him doing it.
Why you don't see that?
Because I don't think he cares about anybody.
He's been pardoning a lot of people.
Yeah, Bill Cosby never gave him any money.
Unless he did, and we don't know about it.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's above my pay grade. All I know is that the jokes are going to be flowing here at Comedy at the Carlson. We have installed hand washing stations everywhere around this building and hand sanitizer stations.
Use them, you filthy animals.
Use them. Keep comedy clean. Come see Faison Love this weekend. Now, I will tell you this, folks. We have limited the number of seats that are available as accordance to the laws. So there are a few tickets left. There are not many left at all. There are very few left. So if you want to come out tonight, jump on it now. CarlsonComedy.com. Faison Love, you are one of my favorite guests of all time. I learned that Whitney Houston might be Elvis's daughter today, and I'll never forget you for that.
See there?
And we'll always love you.
We should just roll the credits under this.
We'll be right back with stand-up news with Ross Johnson. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. You know, folks, every week we let Ross Johnson come in and attempt to tell us news stories.
Ah.
And this is... You know what? Just go ahead.
Sure.
Just go ahead.
Text tone.
That's fine.
There was a punchline there that I did not get to, but well done.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, you owe no apologies. You were better.
So, who do we love more than Nicole Byer? Nobody, right? I mean, maybe Vinny.
Yeah.
And Nicole Byer.
Your husband.
And then it goes, he's in there. Yeah. So, Nicole Byer, who's been a guest on the show, we love her. She is attached to a pilot from NBC. Apparently, she had a ton of offers this season. So she's attached to a pilot from Dan Gore and Phil Augusta Jackson, who are two of the head people on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. There are no details. She will be playing Nikki. There's no name for the show, but this is through NBC. And it's all that they've announced is that it's about a group of black friends. So it might just be called Black Friends. I don't know.
Black Friends.
You said it's from NBC?
It's for NBC.
Yeah, yep. It's probably about as imaginative as they'll get with it.
Right. Yeah. So, exactly. So, but, well, I love her, so.
What is it with comedians whenever they get a sitcom that they always use their first names or a version of their first names?
Yeah. I think it's easier.
Yeah.
I guess if you're simple. Not a trained actor, it's probably easier to remember your own
name. To answer to your own name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably good for marketing, too. But, I mean, it doesn't necessarily make comedians look like they're the smartest people in the world.
No, it's true.
Well,
you're right.
Well, you've met a lot.
Yeah.
Some of us aren't.
Yeah, well,
a few.
Well, we said comedians, Brian, so relax.
You know, we talked earlier about all of the precautions that the Carlson's taking. But, you know, of course, there's the big virus situation going on. So NBC, CBS, TBS, HBO, and Comedy Central are all for the first time for a lot of these shows are going to be shooting their late night talk shows without audiences. So, like Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Samantha Bee, Trevor Noah, John Oliver are all starting this week for at least a week or so are going to be shooting without audiences, which I guess will be interesting.
Now they get to know my pain.
Well,
now they get to know my pain.
It's just going
to
be just Brian. It's going to be there just commenting.
Yeah. Let's see Stephen Colbert put out a quality show with Brian sitting there trying to interject. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to keep my mouth shut for
but
an entire show.
It you know, probably be interesting to watch because these shows are so built around audience reaction. You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a strange new world for a couple of weeks, but
yeah.
That's the right thing to do.
Well, it's the right thing to do, and at this point, it's, you know, it's the kind of thing where if we are a little precautionary about things, we can keep things from getting better. So a little inconvenience now will hopefully stave off some horrible disaster later.
Like Brian being the only audience member of the Tonight Show. And Jimmy Fallon just screaming and losing his mind because Brian keeps getting up to go to the bathroom. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so, you know, the world's in a wild place right now. So a couple of little human interest stories to wrap up on. So Stand Up NBC, I think we've talked about this before. This is a stand-up competition that NBC does every year for what they term, like, diverse comedians. So previous winners have been like W. Kamau Bell. People got their, you know, their big shots. Dion Cole from Grown-ish, Lil Rel, Hasan Minhaj, Amanda Searle. So, you know, some big names have come out of this. So they've announced that Chicago, LA, Atlanta, New York City, and Dallas will be the big audition cities. So these are places where you can go live and do a little stand-up bit to audition for them. They are also taking, probably even more relevant now, they're also taking video. They also take video auditions if you're not in one of those cities. So that's sort of a fun, you know, if you're an artist of non-straight cis white male persuasion, you know, nothing wrong with you. Not judging that.
Do I qualify because I'm elderly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure, good.
Why not?
Good. Yeah, I'll give it
a
shot.
You're diverse.
Yeah.
And to be fair, your skin tone is always more of a greenish color.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I could just say extraterrestrial or something.
Yep.
Perfect. Dying. Ross, what's your last story? What do you got for us?
Okay, so a little human interest piece to end on a happy note. I mean, it's about comedians' mental illness, but it's mostly happy. So this is from Vox.
Chocolate and peanut butter, buddy.
Chocolate peanut butter. Absolutely. So Vox did a profile of the Laugh Factory LA's in-house therapist, Ildiko Tabori. I'm probably not saying that right. So she's been the in-house therapist at the Laugh Factory for 9 years. So apparently, like, if you're a comedian, you can either make an appointment for a session at her normal practice in LA, or she's got a little office right there, and she will work people through situations and mental health issues right on site.
Hot.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. So I guess if you're having a particularly rough night, you can make an appointment.
You can just bomb and just walk straight in there and lay on the couch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a great idea. She says she doesn't think that comedians necessarily have a greater mental health issues than other people, but it's a high stress, high feedback, high impact, working late, going on the road, you know, so there are all sorts of things that tie in.
That's got to be like the bottom of the barrel for psychiatrist jobs. That's got to be the worst job ever.
You think it's like,
she flunked out of being a pet psychiatrist.
Well, or it's like low-hanging fruit, you know? I mean, you can like...
Oh, it's a target-rich environment.
That's the comedian walks in and is like, it's your mother's fault. And they just go, oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I got to be honest, though. $20. Right? After some of these sets, you know, and she sees these people walking towards the door, I would just flip the side. Yep. Just go back in and lock it because I would want to talk to these people.
Like Lucy and Peanuts, where she just flips the side around.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to have to, if you don't get off stage now, I'm going to have to deal with this later. So we're just going to have to shut this down.
Did you, and like the questions always be, have you talked about it in your act? Like, what are they going to, what advice are they going to give you to deal with your trauma?
They should give her control of the light.
That's exactly right.
No, just stop it. Stop.
Well, and she did say it's more general stuff. They don't necessarily talk about specifically what's in the act, but some people do, and I think
it'd be very helpful. Sometimes, you know, when comics go on stage and they just do something that's really weird and the audience is very quiet and they're just going with it, it'd be good to have a professional there to bring them in and be like, is this a breakdown or are they actually just trying to do
right.
this?
Yeah.
Is this, yeah. is this the act yeah. or is this a breakdown? Yeah.
Do we need to call someone or yeah. is this okay?
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's a good idea. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not everybody can have a, you know, have a therapist on call, but it's a great idea.
It's not the worst idea I've ever heard, for sure. Yeah.
Well, folks, Faye's on Love, 4 more shows here at Comedy at the Carlson. Thank you, Faye, for coming in and being a great guest. Billy DeTore, awesome job. Ross, adequate as usual.
Sure.
Brian, I hope the virus gets you. We don't know when we'll be back, hopefully next Friday morning, but until then.
Any virus. Any virus will do.
Until then, enjoy the back catalog of episodes, rate and review, tell a friend, act right, and we'll see you when we see you. Take care, Rochester.